Chapter 38, Platooine.
Now dressed appropriately to the planet and terrain, carrying identification that would pass at least casual verification, Cordon D stood, inconspicuous, in the shadows of the awning of a tent from which a Klaatuinian female sold chilled drinks and personal cooling devices to credulous offworlders. D bought another drink every half an hour so that the proprietor would not resent his continued presence. There was a broad strip of open sand before him, and on the other side of it, the largest tent of the encampment, a canopy suited to a circus. It was the political center of the gathering, the place where the leaders of several disparate, half-cooperative, half-feuding rebellion movements were now trying to make themselves more attractive to the Galactic Alliance while maintaining an attitude of rugged independence. It was like a mating dance among unshaven human males, each trying to attract a female while intimidating rivals. The place was well defended. In addition to guards posted at intervals around its circumference, D saw small turbolaser cupolas at 4 points along its perimeter, sensor devices and sensor droids all around, and indications, from the way camp workers meticulously restored sand blown away by the winds, that there were probably additional sensors in a net buried just under the surface. Somewhere nearby, another tent would be loaded with monitoring stations where data from all those sensors would be under constant analysis. D suspected that the main tent's interior would also feature shields, possibly as strong as those carried by a starfighter, projecting their protective fields in an overlapping pattern. Between D and the big tent, out on the hot open sands just short of the clear area maintained by guards, a group of ragged children, mostly Klaatuinian, played. It was a local game called Return. D had learned about it this morning. The captain of one team, standing alone, would hurl a round ball to an ally in the crowd of other players. The receiver would then attempt to run it back to him through a gauntlet of opponents. The receiver could toss it to any ally except the captain, but there was a danger of it being intercepted. And when running with the ball, the carrier might be borne to the ground and drop the ball. If a member of the other team got the ball, play would stop, and that player would become the captain for the next throw. Twice now, guards had to shoo the players back a few meters from the clear zone. Finally, the party of politicians D had been waiting for arrived. He recognized the Solos, their Galactic Alliance guards, and, interestingly, the dome-topped astromech and gold protocol droid that had visited the Hapen landing craft the previous night. Preliminary research had told D that they belonged to the Solos. In addition, there were several more heavily robed strangers, most wearing veils over their faces. They walked before, behind, and among the Solo family party, conversing with the Solos and their guards. D nodded. Probably the Hapen contingent. The Hapen security unit must have been directed to converse with the Alliance security agents, all very informal, causing trouble to an observer trying to sort out who was who. D reached up to his collar and, while innocuously scratching his neck, pressed a button on the comm link hidden beneath folds of cloth.